Hello and welcome to Simply Save, Money Control's weekly personal finance podcast where we discuss all things money. I'm your host Preeti Kulkarni, and in this edition of Simply Save, we'll talk about the financial task that is high on the priority list of most taxpayers at the moment, that is filing income tax returns for the financial year 23-24 before the due date of July 31st. Now, as Money Control has reported earlier, the process has not been hassle-free this year. Many chartered accountants and taxpayers have voiced their concerns around the difficulties in accessing the official e-filing portal, downloading the annual information statement, or challenges in importing capital gains or losses from brokers and mutual fund intermediaries and so on. To discuss the issues that taxpayers are facing, steps that the Income Tax Department ought to take to resolve these issues, and also measures that have already been taken to ease the process, we have with us today Chartered Accountant Suresh Surana.
Welcome to the show, Mr. Surana. It's great to have you on Simply Save for the first time.
Thank you. It is my pleasure also to join you.
So, we are in the midst of the income tax return filing season. And in fact, we are nearing the end of the season once the due date, as the due date of July 31st is fast approaching. So, if you could start with how has the experience been so far compared to previous years?
Yeah, so as you know that the government went on the digitalization drive, and it gradually made the e-filing process compulsory for different categories of taxpayers. So now you have almost 8.2 crore tax filers, and except for super senior citizens, rest everyone has to do e-filing. Also, we have seen that the return processing time has dramatically come down, and also the refunds are being processed very quickly. I mean, within now 15 days also, most of the returns getting processed. So, and also the interface between the department and the tax filer has reduced. So overall, I would say it has been very positive in terms of all the tax filer's experience. In fact, our personal tax collection has gone up by 25% in the last financial year to almost 12 lakh crore rupees now. So that is a testimony of, better compliance.
Right. But at the same time, there are also some issues, right? So what are the issues, glitches that chartered accountants and individual taxpayers are facing this year?
Yes, there are always challenges, and there are improvement opportunities. So some of the challenges which are being faced now, because also what we are seeing that government has a lot of data available with the Form 26A, right, and then the AIS, the annual information statement, and then you also have tax information statement. So in that, some of the common challenges people find, for example, where you have joint income, let's say two people own 50% each, the entire income gets reflected in the both the cases, despite the share being given, what is the share of each of the joint owners. Similarly, in case of a mobile property transaction, also similar challenges arise. So then there is a difference between what income you are offering in the return and what is being shown in the AIS. So this is one common problem people are facing. The other issues people are facing that, for example, the credit may be in a different financial year and the income is taxable in a different financial year. So that mismatch, because you may be offering it on accrual basis or receipt basis. So there could be a timing difference between the credit for the tax and the actual taxability of that income. So that is another challenge being faced by the tax filers. Another one more issue is that in case you, in the AIS there is a response option, but there are drop-down boxes which are like, so these are predefined, that whether the information is correct, information is not taxable, information is not fully correct, or information relates to other, some other permanent account number or some year,
right,
and information is duplicate or information is denied. So these are the categories under which you need to give your response. But sometimes it is more complex than that. So there is no provision right now for a customized, response. If I have some specific issue and if I want to bring it, then there is, right, it has to fall under any of these categories only. So that could be another, another possibility, that if they give a residual option with and then they can have a customized response, it will reduce cases of discrepancy which are there.
Right.
One more challenge which sometimes we face is that there is a duplication of certain entries because they are getting the same data from different sources. So it is reflected twice sometimes. So that duplication also, you know, it is something which is the cause of some discrepancy. So these are some of the common, I would say, challenges which are being faced by the tax filer, which probably can be addressed by in this fashion, that if the duplication can be avoided, joint income can be properly apportioned and customized, you know, response with a specific kind of residual option. That might be helpful.
So specifically, what are the steps that you think the IT department should take to ensure that overall the process is smoother, glitch-free this year or next year?
So I think apart from the issue what we discussed about that, because AIS is now a very important basis, and if they add this residual option, and also the whatever issues are being raised, if they are resolved quickly, because many times it is found that even after the issues are raised in the TIS, it is not still getting corrected. So I think it is important that there is a quick action on those items. Also, we find that most of the tax filers file the return during the last week or in fact last 2 or 3 days. So there is a tremendous pressure on the server and the portals. And then sometimes we see time lag and it takes a long time to, you know, submit actually. So I think it is important that there is enough bandwidth and capacity at the server level and at the portal level to handle this kind of volume, because the number of tax filers is increasing continuously. So that is the one. And also, in order to resolve these issues, they need to have adequate number of dedicated technical people so that the issues are resolved, in the almost like real time. And finally, the helpline is there. And of course, during the last week, they work extended hours from 8 a.m. to 12, midnight. But probably a 24/7 support will be, very helpful. Given that there is a continuous round clock filing and some of the people will be non-resident also. So that, I think, it may be a stretch, but it will be very helpful to the tax filers.
And coming to the taxpayers, now over the years, a trend has emerged where individual taxpayers often just go by YouTube or Instagram videos, and which are actually not necessarily put out by tax professionals or experts, to file their income tax returns. So have you come across this trend? And if yes, then what are the potential drawbacks of this approach?
Yeah, so I mean, no doubt the YouTube videos are helpful, particularly if they are from renowned and authentic, experts. They will help to understand various situations. However, tax laws are very complex. As you know that, there are several nuances, each of the provisions are so many sub clauses or conditions, and there is a possibility that one might overlook something. So it is important that and also the consequences of not filing correctly can result in interest and penal consequences. So it is better that you follow a scientific approach rather than only relying on these videos, which are good for educational purposes. So commonly what we find that sometimes the information is not, I mean, they can't deal with all the complexities in the one video. So some of the sub-conditions or clauses are overlooked. Also, sometimes in terms of the actual information, it may not be correct, or it may be pertaining to last year, whereas the laws and regulations have changed this year. So whether it is containing the latest information, which is relevant for this particular financial year, very important. Also, sometimes, of course, the issues can be complex, and therefore, and you might have your own specific situation. So those aspects may not be considered. So I would say it is good for understanding, but not really adequate for compliance.
Okay, I understand. So apart from this, what are the mistakes that you have seen people, income taxpayers, typically making this year? And the mistakes that you think they must avoid?
Yeah, well, I think that's a very good question, because, many people overlook a few things, and particularly because of now e-filing, many people try to do on their own, and as you just now gave examples by just looking at some videos. So first and the foremost is the selection of the right form. So as you probably know, there are four major forms which are applicable in case of the personal taxation, which is ITR 1, ITR 2, ITR 3 and ITR 4. So ITR 1 and 2 is applicable for those individuals and HUFs who are not having business income. And out of that also, ITR 1 is the simpler one, which is called ITR Sahaj. And under ITR 1, only those people who have salary income or who have one house property or income from other sources, and also their taxable income is below 50 lakh rupees, they can file ITR 1. Also, there are some people who cannot further file ITR 1. Like, for example, if you are a director of a company or if you are a shareholder of a company, then you cannot file ITR 1. Even HUF cannot file ITR 1. And the non-resident also cannot file ITR 1. Also, if you have foreign tax, if you have foreign income, foreign bank account, foreign any asset, again, you are not eligible. So these are, I think, the remaining cases, ITR 2 will be applicable. And of course, if you have business income, you have to select between ITR 3 and ITR 4, which I am not going into complexity right now. The second major mistake people make is, you know, not fully reconcile what is appearing in 26AS and also in the AIS. So there, a lot of transactions get reported in that, whether it is any in terms of investments or in terms of any property transactions. Even credit card, debit card statements are now available in the AIS. So if you have done any transaction and that you, if you are not reflecting as drawings or adequate, you know, the way it should be, that could also get picked up. Also, earlier we spoke about joint income or, you know, income not pertaining to said financial year. We need to make sure that those are resolved as far as possible. Of course, don't hold up your return. If at all it is not resolved, you make your, you know, whatever objection and you go ahead with your filing of return. But you have to follow it up and see that it is resolved. So that will avoid the chances of your either some demand, you know, coming or some adjustment being made to your income, and also minimize any kind of tax, you know, litigation or tax disputes. So these are some of the, I would say, two major things. Third thing I would like to say also is to have a pre-validated bank account, because the refunds are getting directly transferred to your bank account. So if you have a pre-validated bank account, then your refund will be very quick. Otherwise, it may get stuck up and it may, again, you might have to, you know, follow up again for the refund, which is there. So these are, I would say, three very major points. Of course, those who are non-resident, one more point, there is the laws regarding the residential status have changed in the last 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
So, like earlier, if you are a non-resident Indian or an overseas citizen of India, then if you spent up to 181 days in India maximum, then you are still non-resident. But now the rules have become more complex. So if you have taxable income of more than 15 lakh rupees, then your stay in India cannot exceed 119 days. And also you should be tax resident of another country in case of Indian citizens. So otherwise the status changes. So again, sometimes people overlook, you know, they just go by the earlier assumption that as long as I'm staying less than 6 months in India, I'm a non-resident. But that may not be always true.
Thanks a lot, Mr. Surana, for all your inputs. I'm sure our listeners will find these inputs insightful. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it has been a pleasure talking to you. And I hope, I wish all the tax filers a very successful filing and very quick refund, those who are entitled to it. Thank you very much.
And with that, it's a wrap on this edition of Simply Save. For more news, views and updates, do stay logged on to moneycontrol.com.